I came here to cracker corn and scuba dive. And I'm all out of scuba dive.
Nice.
That's all I'm out of, scuba dive.
Sorry
was
to hear
that
it.
Improv? That was, I mean,
barely.
That was, yeah, not
yes,
improv,
and but, now it is.
Yeah, well, it wasn't improv. I mean, I'm sure he said it many times before and probably wasn't the first to say it because he stole a lot of things, as we know, in the biz.
Are we talking about
Rowdy Popper?
Rowdy Piper?
Yeah. Yeah, Rowdy Popper.
Cracker hey, Jack it's us, Popper. The We Talk Games brothers.
It, we
Cindy.
Are. And I'm Greg. Is Greg one of the people that normally does this show?
I don't know no, anymore. Big I don't Ben. Know who does this show anymore.
Big Ben, Cupertino.
Tito Jackson.
Tito Jackson, no, not even Tito. Where We Talk Games, what are you doing for the 8-bit movies again?
The Horror Fest, it's happening right now, and the theme is space horror.
Wow.
Yeah.
You dumped out on that a little bit.
Oh,
that's
let me
okay.
do it again.
No.
And this year's, hey, no, let me do it again.
All right, but I ain't editing.
That's fine. You leave it all in.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember that Bill O'Reilly thing for Current Affairs where he's yelling at the camera guy.
Oh.
Fuck it, we'll do it live!
Yeah.
What's his yeah, say? So this year's theme is horror says. In space.
It is
so
horror
of course
in
we're
space.
Talking Jason X like everybody else this month.
No, man, I had a lot of good ones.
I know you did, but we did this one.
Unfortunately, you already watched something, and then so I had to say, okay, I'll watch it today. And I remember renting this on VHS when it came out, and then I got it confused with space
stupid invaders.
Stupid invaders, yeah, stupid
Tell
invaders.
Me about stupid invaders.
It was a good Dreamcast game, I got it confused.
Did it have
with this
anything
movie.
To do with Taito or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I don't remember. I think you talked a lot because it was two discs. So mm-hmm. there was a lot of talking going on. And it could have been like a Sam and Max. But it could have also not been
click.
Anything like that. Because I have no... I cannot... if I confuse it with this movie, what are you asking me for? By the way, I'm Wiggly. And on the line is Kyle Von Kubik.
That's
and
me.
We are from We Talk Games. We are very thankful that Dougie Fresh and Spoony D
mm-hmm.
and Chrissy Kringle.
Natalie and
come
Joe
on.
And Blair. Oh, wait. Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah.
I think that's something different.
Oh. Blair. Yes, we're talking about the Blair Witch Trials.
Oh.
That's my favorite movie, the Blair Witch Trials.
Mm-hmm.
Happened
wait, is
in
that
Chicago.
A movie? Is that real?
Happened in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, we are going to be in Illinois. How you like that? Now, I got to tell you one thing. Martians, they're taking over the world. Martians, they're taking over this world. Martians are taking over this world. Can you tell I just finished watching the movie?
Yeah.
I was like, this is from 1990. There's got to be a rap song about the movie, explaining the movie about the Martians. But instead, it's a 90s... type of song.
You know what is in this movie?
Say? What's that?
All of Orson Welles' broadcast of War of the Worlds.
All of it?
It must have hit public domain because they used, I think, almost the entire broadcast.
Yeah, they did. Well, this might have been up, before but... Sonny Bono went and made it so that there's only... now you have to go 100 years. It used to be 50 years. Oh, no, I think 75 years. 75 years on public domain instead of 50. What a crock of shit.
Gotta wait
like,
that
I
long.
Couldn't wait to do some of these things. And, you know, Sonny Bono, what good is it doing him now? What has he done for us lately?
Smacked into a tree.
Yeah, like a long
two
time ago.
Ago.
Yeah. So what the fuck? You know?
When's he going to be public domain? I think he's
probably
compost,
go dig him
but
up.
I don't know if he's public domain.
Yeah, dig him up. But then again, he might be with Xenu, so no one knows. Hey, there's a space movie we could have done. Horror space.
Well, let's not talk about the movies we could have done, and let's talk about this movie, Spaced Invaders.
Yes, Spaced Invaders.
Not to be confused
Tommy
with
Chung.
Space Invaders.
Tommy Chung is in this, directed by, because he's spaced, Space Ace. Kiss does a soundtrack. This is actually a Halloween movie, which was
it good. Is.
It wasn't just it a is. Horror movie, which
Halloween very, very is happening.
Horrific. Yeah. The Halloween is the reason why we could do the shenanigans, because you get your space invaders coming down, but your Billy Bardies.
It's all right. This movie's bad.
It is?
Yeah, okay. And you know what? I like bad movies.
Yeah.
But this isn't a category of its own where there was definitely money spent.
Yeah.
But the people who wrote and directed this film,
yeah,
who's the same person, it's Patrick Reed Johnson,
yeah,
clearly was not capable of executing a film. Somehow he swindled people out of cash to make a film. Because there are some things that are impressive if you like, you know, model railroads and toys flying around in,
I got to tell you, the opening scenario, it's okay. So it's about Martians.
Is it because they didn't explicitly say they were from Mars until about an hour into the film?
Yeah, they changed this story.
This he story is like if along. You were to ask my son to come up with a story.
Spaced invaders.
It would be something, something, and then something, something, and then something, and something, and then. That's what this film feels like, as you're watching that play out on the screen, where it's something improv, happens, right? And then something else happens, and then something else happens. They don't connect at all.
You were in that improv group, weren't you? And then,
what's that?
And then, and then, and then.
Yeah.
This is Ariana Richards' first film, by the way.
Mm.
Yes. Many of you might know Ariana Richards from
Pete Davidson.
She went on to do a lot of things, like Tremors 3.
Mm-hmm.
Is This Your Dog?
The third one, huh?
No, honestly, right, like this year, the year 1990 when this came out, she won the Child Actress Award for a TV movie and another Child Actress Award. So, in another thing. So, she actually got accomplished. I guess that's what you call it, got accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
But this was considered her, you know, an introduction film, although she had done. I'm going through a change of life at 52. She had done some things prior to this. In fact, 1989, burp, excuse me, by the way, she did I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. She was Girl.
Oh, New Jack City? I don't
know. I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. You don't remember that movie?
No, I do remember Jurassic Park, though, which I think everyone would remember her from.
Yeah, she was in Jurassic Park, Highland Encounter, which was
the
second one.
Nope,
just in the first
just
one.
Just Jurassic Park.
And she was in the Lost World of Jurassic Park or something.
Oh, was she?
Hey, does your ass itch, Park? So here we go. We got this. We're not going to go through like I normally do. I go through each scene.
You tell the whole movie. Story.
Yeah. But as you were saying about these model trains and stuff going through the air, I really thought that those opening toy shots. Wait a minute. Let me back up a second. The very opening, we get to see Billy Barty and Roy Cox. Roy Cox was actually one of the little fellas playing the Martians, and everybody should know Roy Cox, except that, of course, none of them voiced themselves, I don't think. It was all, voice actors.
You find out how poorly it's dubbed later.
Ooh.
Not in the opening scenes, though, where these little people are wearing gigantic helmets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a dark helmet.
Which I do appreciate that they're wearing these big, goofy helmets, because it builds up to a reveal of what these aliens, which we later find out are Martians from Mars, look like. Which that was a good choice. There was a couple good choices in the film.
Yes, yes. You know what? It does start with the models, and I thought this was pretty high quality. High quality. First of all, this is a Touchstone.
Vibrators in space.
Vibrators in space. Touchstone Pictures and Partners IV is also part of this here. Partners IV, I think, produced this. But I got to tell you, I liked the design to those vibrator dildo things.
I think for 1990, it's on par with a lot of B sci-fi movies and horror films.
Do you really think so? I mean, they were sticks.
I'm not saying that.
They were sticks, which is stupid.
Yeah, you see them floating around in wires. But the thing is, it's impressive miniature work.
I'm just saying that, well, yeah, because you see the little lights in every, you know, section. And I just thought the shape of the ships didn't look like the shape of the ships in other things. You know, it wasn't like a goofy rocket or, you know, a cylindrical type of thing.
Saucer or anything like that. Yeah, no, they had a sort of organic looking shape.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
And then you get the Wizard of Oz.
They kind of look like the ship in...
Who's talking?
You ever watch Farscape?
Yes.
It kind of looks like that ship.
Don't remember anything about it.
Oh, okay.
I wore my Firefly shirt. Last night. And I was like, you know what? I bet if I go and wear this to whatever I was going to go do, I can't remember. And, you know, with the kids. And I would say, hey, geek kids, try to guess what this shirt is from. Because it's one of the Japanese commercials that shows that triggers Terminator Girl to be
Seen a moment of that show.
Oh, never mind. Well, just see the movie because they never get to the... What the hell is happening here? Get your phones at home. Turn them off. Silence them. Because they never get to the part where they were headed in the movie. So just watch the movie.
Do they ever find fireflies?
That's the whole
or
that's
lightning
the whole
bugs.
That's it's the whole reason. That's the whole reason why they tear the light off of the lightning bugs, and then they put them on their nose, and they're like, look at me, look at me. See, that's why I'm 50, because that's what we would do.
Your generation was horrible.
Dude, I know. Hey, man, this is a time when child abuse wasn't even a thing. You know. There wasn't that name.
That was just called rearing.
Yeah, it was just called raising your child. Yeah. Beating the shit out of them. And you know, it was called, do you want to get my belt or your belt? So I would get spanked. I would get spanked with my own belt. I had the choice to choose my dad to use his belt or whoever was going to spank me or use my belt. So that was always nice.
Did you ever try to roll up with like your G.I. Joe's belt? That would have been real funny.
That would have been. No, I usually got the buckle though, I'll tell you that. Okay, anyway, child abuse.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween, everybody!
Be sure to check your candy for child abuse.
There will be nothing in there. We get this Wizard of Oz Cathedral, and like I said, Billy Barty and Roy Cox are there, and somebody else, I don't know, guy that played Dorf in Dorse from Far Out Space Nuts.
Oh, okay.
Anyone?
No.
I hope there's a lot of 50 and 60 year olds listening to this show. It's hilarious.
I think that's mostly 8-bit geeks demographic.
It's good. It's good. We always try to appeal to the octogenarians on our shows. Jellyfish Robo Enforcer Drone is here. Yes. And this is pretty good because it's a pretty gruesome demonstration of this drone's power. We get to see the skeletal anatomy of the antagonist alien in the first 5 minutes of the show.
There's a couple of little men dressed as aliens with big helmets on the deck of this, you know, commander ship, and there's been some sort of overthrow that we don't really get any more information about.
There's a war going on.
There's a war going on with these aliens, and this alien decided that he's taking over. He's taking charge, and he feels that the other commanders aren't doing a good enough job. So he's going to enlist the help of these drones to watch over them and make sure that they don't go AWOL or go into business for themselves or whatever. They stay on course and keep fighting. I guess a lot of these little dudes would turn and run.
I don't know why the drones just didn't do everything, because that drone kicked ass. It vaporized the one dude like nothing. His armor and everything else.
Yeah, the one little guy gets lippy. The drone shoots him, and he looks like Ak-Ak Attack from Mars when he's a fried corpse.
He is literally. I mean, it's. I wouldn't say it's gruesome, but if you look at it as an adult,
a charred remains.
It's gruesome. Yeah, it looks like things that happen to people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I do. That. I've sent you memes.
Yes, you have
sent phones.
I mean, a kid wouldn't think that. Which is the reverse of the rest of the movie.
We forgot to mention, this is a child's movie.
You think it's a child's movie?
Yeah, it was rated G in 1990. I think it'd probably be rated like PG, PG-13 today, but it was rated G when it came out.
I think PG.
Well, they say hell a lot. I guess that's okay for PG, right?
I'll tell you about that hell bit, why that happened, and why it kept happening.
Okay. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
We're not even... Again, it really.
Yeah. So anyway, so the drones are going to keep these guys in check.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's cut to Earth.
Cut to Earth. And did you notice it was a Star Wars wipe? It was a downward wipe with just the same amount of Tatooine.
Yeah. This film just loves ham-fisting homages to all sorts of things, whether it be the Star Wars wipes or the My Favorite Martian or. The Orson Welles thing, to the point that the radio station is WELZ Wells.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, Patrick, we got it, buddy. We got it. Slow down.
But did they mean Orson Welles or did they mean H.G. Wells?
Both. That's a double fister.
Both.
God damn it, Patrick.
Yep. Imagine if you will. Big Bean, Illinois. Go. There's a new sheriff in town in Big Bean, Illinois. And there's the corrupt credit union, red seersucker, suit-wearing, goofball, wealthy, what do you call these people?
It's the bank man who's you know, pushing the thumb down on the farmer.
On the man. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the man, and he's putting his thumb down on the farmer who is down on his luck because the crops are, you know, he's not producing any crops, so he owes the bank a lot of money. And hey,
this entitled
what do you know?
Guy,
the biggest event to happen to this little town is that there's finally an off ramp from the highway, so that they have access to the outside world. And the bank man thinks that this will mean that there's going to be a huge revenue stream for tourists and visitors and whatnot.
That's where they got the idea for cars.
Oh, they must have stole
cars.
That
they stole that from this
Space
movie,
Space Invaders.
Yeah. And so what happens, of course, the farmer starts a dance contest and people from all over raise money for the barn.
No, much like contemporary America, the farmer decides to go to the bank with a gun.
He did. Because he could shoot someone
right
in the face.
But unlike contemporary America,
yes.
It wasn't semi-automatic and it wasn't loaded.
It wasn't loaded, yeah. The new sheriff in town says, listen, I don't want to draw on you, old man, but... You know, you got to sort of give me that gun. And then he goes, yeah, you're right. I don't want to get shot because my thing's empty. Although when they start talking.
I can't even afford the bullets.
But then when they start talking to the entitled bank guy there, credit union. And it's so sad. It's a credit union. But that's not like how a guy would act in a credit union. You're right. It would be a banker. You know?
Right.
So
right.
He's acting like, I don't know. Who knows? Who the fuck knows about this thing?
The actor sucks.
He was terrible.
He can't decide what voice he wants to use because the movie doesn't do a good job of this. And I'm going to just jump to this. Later on in the film, he's dressed as Hulk Hogan. That's his Halloween costume.
Well,
but the film has a throwaway line to let you know that he's that guy in the costume, because I had trouble discerning that was him in the costume. And what tipped me off was that earlier in the film, when he's not in the Hulk Hogan costume, he is talking like Hulk Hogan for some reason. and then goes back to be the smarmy sort of, what would you describe his other voice, his original voice in these opening scenes? Just the snarky type of...
Yeah, he's entitled.
Well, yeah. You're going to owe me the money. And then he goes, oh, yeah, brother.
Is that why he did that? Okay.
Yeah, he's a dumbass. He's a very bad actor.
Yeah.
He couldn't remember which costume he was in. He kept changing his voice.
When he was at Glam Rock Hulk Hogan, I thought it was Diedrich Bader.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought that's Diedrich Bader in there, because that's what he sounded like.
You know what? I thought you were trying to be funny. Yeah, actually, he did look like Diedrich Bader from... What film was that now?
Well, he was in a lot of things.
No, but Office Space?
Oh, he was in Office Space, yeah.
He was the next-door neighbor with the handlebar mustache?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very much like the same voice and affect and look. You're right.
Yeah, so I thought that was him. I was like, oh, cool. You know, at least I'm going to get some of this. But then as it went on, then you sort of saw, wait, that really isn't him.
Yeah. My son's named after Diedrich Bader.
No.
Yeah.
No. I thought he's named after Diedrich in the Batman. Oh, he did
Diedrich
the voice.
Diedrich Bader is the Batman.
He did the voice in that. Yeah. That's right. He did a lot of DC voices. Oh, yeah, my God, you're kidding me.
Nope. He's named after the Brave and the Bold Batman.
Yeah. I bet he could do karate like in when he's in Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, no, he's into Spider-Man.
I know he is.
Some people giving him Spider-Man stuff. So, oh well. Anyway,
Big Bean, Illinois. Let's go to Big Bean, Illinois. That's going to be the center.
That's going
to
come back later.
Of all this, Big Bean, Illinois. Yeah. The sheriff is a single parent, and he also has a little only child daughter. So there you go. You got that.
Mom died.
Yeah, mom died.
And that's a throwaway line, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a mom. She died. It really doesn't play into this. And I got to tell you, I didn't think the whole farm guy with the bank guy was ever going to do anything.
No, I didn't think that was going to pay off either. Yeah, there's a lot of things that don't pay off, like particularly with when we're introduced to the sheriff and his daughter. She's getting ready for Halloween, and she's in, like, what looks like battle armor or something that you would see like a member of GWAR wear, like there's spikes and everything coming out. And this scene was great. And this just shows how poorly this film is written. She goes, because they just moved into this town. They're still moving into the house. She goes to her dad as they're eating pizza and they're surrounded by all of these boxes. Have you ever moved, Wiggly?
Yeah.
And you move into a place and there's just boxes everywhere.
Yes.
And so she goes to her father, do you know where the crazy glue is? And he just turns and goes, yeah, it's in that box right behind me.
Like, nothing's even marked.
Thousands of boxes around him, but he knows exactly where that crazy glue is.
Exactly.
So she's making her costume, and what we find out a little later is that she is dressed as, or she's trying to be dressed as something like a xenomorph, an alien.
Yeah.
Aliens.
She's dressed as an alien, and she's concerned that the other Big Bean kids are going to be dressed up as a pirate or a hobo. I think those were the two hobos.
Because they're simple. They're simple people because it's middle America.
Maybe, maybe someone be in the Ben Cooper poncho that has just a painting of a Hulk
on it. This is going to be sort of like a fish out of water, and then they're going to think that the little girl is also a Martian or an alien because she's dressed as an alien. Mm-hmm. It's Halloween. That never happens.
And dad's got to find a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, and that's something that normally always happens, right?
And the farmer's going to have a battle of the bands. He's going to have a Woodstock in his farm.
And then the alien's going to dance on stage.
That's right.
And then it come out with a song where they go, Howard the Duck.
That's
right. I mean, no, that was a better movie than this.
You think so? Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yes, I do. I do. I'd rather watch Howard the Duck 3 times in a row than sit through... how long was this film?
It was an hour 41.
My God, why?
It took that long to tell this story.
You could have been in and out of this film in 22 minutes. This could have been a Nickelodeon episode of something.
Yeah, yeah. This could have been a half hour episode, no doubt.
So no payoff with the costume. So she's getting ready for her trick-or-treating, Halloween, that type of thing.
Right. So in honor of Halloween, Big Bean Radio is going to do a rebroadcast of Orson Welles' reading of War of the Worlds. Do you remember what year that was? Like 50s?
No, I think it was early in the 50s. I think it was like 30s.
Nah, that's when he wrote it.
No, well, let me look.
Okay, you look while I tell the story of watching War of the Worlds on television, which was a story of War of the Worlds, of the reading of War of the Worlds after War of the Worlds. They made a made-for-TV movie back in the 70s when I was a youngster.
He did the radio broadcast in 1938.
Holy farts! Okay,
yeah, so 40. H.G. Wells' novel, I think, was
It was the 1800s, like, maybe. Late 1800s. Yeah, you're right. Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, that is
okay.
I
forgive you.
Thank you. But when I watched War of the Worlds, the story of him telling this story on the radio and people thinking it, real, they had it sort of set like it was in the 1950s. Okay. So that's what must have gotten confused up in there, all up in that schnazzle.
Oh boy, what another missed opportunity for this film.
Yeah.
And I hope you don't mind indulging me on this, but like, as a creative person, I look at things like this and I think about, you know, taking it apart and how you could use things to put it back together and make it better, right?
Mm-hmm.
This would have worked so much better if it was set in 1938 and it was the actual broadcast.
That would have been good.
Orson Welles and the aliens get confused by that. It would have made so much more sense than what actually happens in this film.
Yeah.
And especially because they could have went to a Big Bean, Illinois. They could have ran amok.
We got to keep calling it Illinois, by the way.
Illinois.
I like that we call it Illinois. Yeah.
So you know, they could go there during 1938, they cause a mess, and then they take off, and then the people in this small town community keep saying, you know, these aliens came and they did this and that and they blew up the silo and whatnot. Everyone's like, ah, you're crazy, it was just a radio broadcast, right? You guys are out of your mind. That would have been a perfect film.
That would have been really good.
But they didn't really do that.
No, they didn't do that. Because you know why? The Hulk Hogan Halloween costume. It wouldn't have been. Yeah, wouldn't have made any
tear
sense.
Tear down the cockpit door.
Wouldn't have made any sense with that. Yeah. So the aliens.
Hey, can you act? No, but I do a good Hulk Hogan. Good enough.
I think that was the director's brother. I'm not sure.
It does feel like a lot of family members were used in this film.
A lot of people from the real Big Bean, Illinois, were in here. For some reason, the aliens are looking around with this electric ear thing from the bottom of their ship. And it hones in on this broadcast that's going on in Big Bean, Illinois. And they hear that the War of the Worlds, right when Orson Welles is saying, you know, the Earth is under attack. An attack from Mars. I threw in Attack from Mars and Revenge from Mars, the pinball.
Sure.
Attack from Mars, yeah. I threw that in there. So they're like, yeah, man, let's go. Ha, ha, ha. And for some reason they're laughing about. I didn't understand any of this because, like you mentioned, who knew they were Martians? Nobody yet.
Yeah, they're talking about some other. It's not Andromeda because that's real. It's a made-up galaxy in the beginning of the film talking about. And then they hear this broadcast and somehow think that this involves them the war that they're fighting.
Exactly. Well, they're by Mars for some reason.
Right.
And then they hear about the Martians attacking and then they're like, yeah, ha, 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 ha. And they're like,
And they're saying, why would we bother with Earth? So they're aware of Earth, but they're not aware of this broadcast. You could buy that a little bit. They're aware of the planet, but not the broadcast. That's fine.
Yeah.
But when they go to Earth and they land and they take off their helmets, first of all, their voices now are doing characters of different, you know,
pastiches,
or Jack Nicholson. One of them is doing. The other one's doing a pretty offensive, you know, like Indian type of accent from India. I'm saying another one's doing like the German doctor scientist voice, which again, made it even more difficult to, and I don't have a thing about understanding voices, but like because of the bad dubbing with their the prosthetics lips moving, mm-hmm. and them doing these character voices, it was irritating to try to listen to, especially because it was so poorly written that none of it really made any sense. Like these things are supposed to be funny and endearing. Now we do get the reveal and see their faces, and it, to me, for 1990, I think it was pretty impressive. Again, with the makeup, it kind of read like the Garbage Pail Kids to me a little bit. Ooh, only as boy. Martians.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying there. Yeah.
But I dug the costuming. The thing I didn't dig about the costuming was these aliens never heard of the War of the Wells. War of the Worlds.
It was a War of the Wells.
By Orson Welles, or rather by H.G. Wells, but broadcast by Orson Welles. Mm-hmm. But one of the aliens is wearing a Lakers t-shirt.
Yeah, and there's references to pop culture, too.
And they throughout the whole film, there's all these yucks about how they understand pop culture, and they're mimicking popular things at the time, but they're not aware of this very famous broadcast, right. And they're not aware of Halloween. It was too much of an right. imbalance between the two.
What? I don't know. I don't understand anything.
Yeah, it was the one. So thing, they land, and the one thing that did pay off was
into the farmer's yes. Barn,
right?
And I say what I loved about that.
You were hoping like this was going to be the connection between Phalanx, the Super Nintendo game, why is a farmer with a banjo by a barn and space happening?
Now I understand that cover. That cover makes a lot more sense. Jim the dog is there. No, I love that the old farmer comes out and he sees his barn sort of like backlit with all this light. He doesn't see a crash saucer. The barn is backlit by all this light because it's nighttime. And he goes, oh, come on, Jim, there's termites.
Yes.
What? I don't care. That doesn't make any sense. It's awesome.
That was funny.
It's awesome.
That was funny. Yeah.
You see your house lit up by big lights in back of it. And for some reason you go, termites.
Yeah.
And so he goes to get a thing of DDT.
Dynamite.
Right. He does that, but then he also has the that DDT sprayer, the old style DDT sprayer.
No, I was mistaken. It wasn't the dynamite yet. It is
the dynamite, though. The DEET. Yeah, he's got the DEET.
Stanley the Bugman happening.
Look that up, kids. Yeah, we already said that the aliens are voiced by, people that probably did cartoons and stuff.
Right.
And other things. I looked up a couple of the voice actors, but it was too hard to tell what they did.
Yeah, aside from Jurassic Park Girl, none of these people. I mean, they're all like, some of them are, especially the farmer is a character actor who's in a ton of films.
Yeah.
But nobody that so anybody listening to this would know.
The sheriff is like, I've seen him in a lot of different things.
He's probably on like a Lifetime movie or something.
No, I think he had like his own. I think he was the star of his own. He was in like the star of a sitcom, but it wasn't based on him. But I can't remember. I don't know. He's probably Superman's dad or something. I don't know.
Right.
Whatever. So we finally see the sheriff's daughter. Are we going to call her Jurassic Park Girl?
Yeah, Jurassic Park Girl.
Okay, JP Girl. We're going to call her JP Girl.
Yeah.
JYP.
JPG.
Yes, JPG. JPG is in her alien costume, and it looks freaking awesome until she takes, when she has the helmet on.
Yeah.
And the big teefer in front of it looks great. She meets this duck kid, and love that actor.
I thought, again, with missed opportunities, that kid was genuinely like a sweet, funny kid, and very endearing, and really the first endearing character in the film.
Yeah.
What bothered me a little bit, and this is just my own personal choice, is that you never saw him out of the costume until the very end of the movie.
Yeah,
and I he does the duck character. When I just would have appreciated, there was no connection, so it was just this kid doing a funny voice, and it's like, are we ever going to see this kid or? Did they forget to show a scene where she introduced? Because she had her helmet off. when they first meet.
But then
he had that full-on duck bill.
Right, he never takes it off.
He never takes it off.
Yeah.
And he played up that voice, like, because that his voice is similar to it, but as the duck, he was doing a sort of Daffy Duck voice.
He should have been Howard the Duck. Forget all that mechanical stuff, you know. If he was just Howard the Duck, just in that same costume. Because his sword was like a turkey. It's like purple.
His color is red, very turkey to me.
Yeah, it was very odd, very odd. But that kid was great. And I looked him up, and unfortunately, he only did like one other thing.
Wow.
Surprised. I'm really sad because he was a really, really good actor,
I thought. He was the breakout player for this film.
He's why I didn't hate it, you know? He's why I didn't hate this film.
Even the film kind of gave up on JPG, started following him at one point.
That's true.
A good quarter of the film is just him interacting with the aliens. Like, yeah, JPG, we had enough of you.
So she that's the first person that befriends her. And then this lady, who I don't know how she's related to Daffy Duck, but anyway, this lady's going to take Daffy Duck and JPG around in her station wagon.
Yeah.
And then three of the aliens are there. And of course, there's a big mix up. Hey, they're in costumes too. Yeah, she's an alien.
Which for the film makes complete sense.
And of course.
They're aliens. It's Halloween. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks that they're little green men. That's fine.
That's exactly how it's supposed to go.
But again, I think the film was trying to make it is very, very boring.
Yeah.
And they were trying to make these interesting characters that like the audience would be attached to in some capacity. And it's hard to find them endearing when everything's die, human scum, human scum, human. Like they only had like three catchphrases and it was all die, human scum. And I was like, okay, well, like they're coming off real antagonistic. But they at some point they are the protagonists and we're supposed to feel sorry for them that they can't escape Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you don't because they're just annoying little shitheads.
They are annoying.
Yeah.
You know, you have too many antagonists here.
Right.
Too many soups in a cook. Too many cooks. Basically, we're going to see the aliens in three major places. You have those three aliens that are going to hang around with the kids in costumes for the most part. There's one more alien that goes to a gas station, and that's where he's going to hang out, and stuff happens there.
Yes. And so then, they have a commander.
What is the last one? The last one is at the barn. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what we got.
Yeah, the one that's at the gas station earlier, the four, the commander and these other three, scientists, the corporal and something, they give us names and rank and whatnot. Nobody gives a shit.
No.
They're walking through the cornfields and they see a road. Now, again, this is a contradiction where these aliens seem at some points to know very much about pop culture, Earth, humans, and then at other times have no idea what this foreign, strange place is. So they come up to a road, and they're confused by it with these yellow dashes and this black tarmac.
Yellow dashes.
And, they send out this little robot to make sure there's no mines or anything. I thought you'd flip your nut for the little alien robot.
No disassemble? That's your guy.
Yeah, no disassemble. Yeah, that's true. I thought the puppetry was pretty good on that robot. So the robot says the coast is clear, and the commander goes out into the middle of the road and he's, belittling his underlings, saying, the humans are too stupid to come up with technology that could kill us, and then just gets creamed by a truck. I gotta say, I actually laughed at that. I was like, it was a funny little joke there.
I laughed at a couple things during this interaction, or at least I found them amusing. I thought the jokes were pretty good. Like, I thought I mean, there's corn all over the place.
But
I thought some of the situations, some of the humor, I thought there was some good humor in this thing. It was a disjointed mess, and none of it made sense.
You needed another two drafts of this to tighten it up.
Or somebody
there
to
was
work
some
with
funny
it.
Gimmicks,
yes.
But it just there was an absence of cohesive story. The little amusing things eventually became tired because they went back to the well too many times with the alien dudes. And again, there wasn't a distinction of do we like these guys or don't we like these guys?
Right.
You know, is this Mars Attacks or is this Mac and me?
Yeah. So that's how the one dude gets to the gas station off the grill.
Yeah, he gets to the gas station because he gets creamed by a truck and he's actually stuck in the grill and gets scraped off and then comes back to life in a sort of body horror-esque special effect with his little antennae, you know, coming back up. And the truck that hits him is the credit union slash banker dipshit who now is dressed as Hulk Hogan.
And he just made fun of Zorro, the gas station attendant. And he's dressed like Zorro, and then that's who that commander takes over the body invasion of the body snatchers to that Zorro character, who then continues to be.
Oh, see, and I said alien. That dude was dressed as Hulk Hogan at that point. He wasn't. He was just doing the voice.
Okay. See, I only found out that it was him, that character, not Diedrich.
Right.
It was the.
Oh, it's Diedrich Bader. And it's not.
I only found out it was what's his name? Kukatunk. What's that character's name?
Oh,
Klembecker. I only found out it was Klembecker because. Like when Klembecker got, and when Hulk Hogan has the gun and stuff, they go, "Klembecker, chill out." And I was like, "Oh my God, is that who that was?"
Yeah,
I thought this was this guy because it was kind of fun. That was another funny part where the kids are going around to do the trick or treats, and he answers the door as Hulk Hogan, as he sounds just like Diedrich, and he gives the kids packs of cigarettes.
That was a funny joke. Yeah. That was a funny little gimmick in there. Yeah.
So, and then he's like,
and that girl that he's his girlfriend or whoever he's taking on a date, she must have been cold on set because every time she was tasked to act in a scene, she just shook. She was constantly shaking. Did you notice that?
Well,
I had
to watch this on a small screen.
I found it very distracting.
Oh, I see.
Oh, by the way, I sent you a link on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I was dumb enough to rent this on Amazon Prime because I looked on Hulu, Amazon, and Netflix, and I couldn't find it streaming. So I'm like, no, I guess I got to, you know, rent this. And then I was sent the link the next day for the YouTube stream for free. Please, if you're interested at all in what we're discussing, don't spend any money watching this.
No. Yeah, watch
it. Not like this foolish idiot.
I made it all the way through. And I don't really have any qualms about it. I know it wasn't. It's a lot of waste of your time. But at the same time, I got to tell you, I got to explain why. It was a relief for me to watch this because every October, I try to watch like a movie every day.
Okay.
And normally I just go through all my Universals in 1930s.
Yeah, sure.
1950s, 60s. But this year I've been watching a couple interesting things. Like I tried to stick to some PG-13 movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched Lights Out, which I thought was really good.
For the TigerGame.com.
Yeah, Tiger.com. Yes, Tiger, TheGame.com. Yes, Lights Out. It's, of course, yes, Lights Out is based on the great game. Lights Out, just like the movie Battleship is based on Milton Bradley's Battleship. No, it's called Lights Out. Have you ever seen it?
I haven't.
Okay, well, it's good. And PG-13, it's pretty amazing. I watched The Babadook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was pretty good. I don't know. I think that might have been rated R, but I'm not sure. It might have been PG-13.
I think that one was a PG-13 movie, but regardless.
So I tried to stick with some of those. I watched all The Grudges. I watched all The Rings. I watched Jeepers Creepers, that series. But then recently I've been watching some really heavy shit. And this is why. And I watched these, like, all three of these in a row. The first one I watched was I Saw the Devil. It was a Korean movie. So if anyone watches that, I recommend that you watch it. These are horror movies. They're not scary movies, and they're not monster movies. They're terror movies, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily horror. They're more terror. Then I watched Martyrs. I watched Martyrs, which was a French movie. Once again, terror movie.
Right.
And then I watched a German one last night called Funny Games.
Oh, God. I'm already nervous.
Funny Games.
What is it called?
Funny Games.
Oh, yes, yes.
Funny Games. And that, they made that in, they made an American version as well, but I never saw the American version. I watched the German one. And, you know, watching all these movies, I found out one thing that was interesting. It sort of ties in with the Bible. If you know, the book of Mark ends with that when they don't, you know, write on ending after it. It usually ends with the empty tomb, and two ladies go to see it, and they were so freaked out that they didn't tell anybody. And then that's how it ends. Okay. Yeah. So there's no witnesses that he rose and did all this other stuff either, because when they saw the empty tomb, they just split and they didn't tell anybody. So that's
probably
really
they told
how that,
somebody.
No, that's how that ends. That shows you something about writing. But something that I learned from watching all these movies is that you don't always need a witness to still be around to tell a story.
Right.
So that was interesting. This movie does have witnesses that tell a story, though. And in fact, that old guy, he seems to only be in it for the money, because he has photos of the aliens, and he really wants aliens to be killed or go away or do whatever they want to do, because he wants to be the only person that has snapshots of these aliens so that he could sell these and maybe get his farm back or something, or move to somewhere else.
Not have to move in with his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's sort of why this was, maybe that's why I thought this is better, okay, and tolerable, mm-hmm. because I just
change
been,
up.
I've been so, you know, oh my God, ready to jump off the roof.
I got to tell you, as far as the season's concerned, I normally try to, not every day, but we try to, in our household, watch a couple horror films.
Yeah, weekends.
Now with the kid, mm-hmm. I was like, well, what other things can we watch that are Halloween oriented? Because he's actually getting into it now. He's picking out his costume now, and he's watching his shows that have the specials, and he seems intrigued by it. So I was like, well, what can I introduce him to that's Halloween-y? And then I thought, oh, hey, Over the Garden Wall is a Halloween series that Cartoon Network did. Mm. I'm going to say in early 2000s. It's so choice. It's such a good series. If you haven't checked it out, whether you have children or not, I would strongly recommend it. And if you want to watch something that will really get you in the Halloween spirit, but not too scary, you know, spooky, but not too scary. It's safe for kids and very funny. Strongly recommend it. It's a beautiful piece of animation.
Over the Garden Wall, you say?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Elijah Wood is one of the voice actors. I know Natasha Leggero did a character. There's just a few famous people. Christopher Lloyd is in there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we're at the point where Jack Nicholas Martian...
Oh God!
He's been staying at that crash, the crash saucer. In the barn.
He's trying to fix the ship.
Yeah, and now he realizes that the Orson Welles was that they heard the radio was just a farce,
right?
And because now we hear the part where I think it was
comes back on and says that, like, you know, I hope you enjoyed it or something for the Halloween. I believe this is how it happens. Like, the disc jockey comes back on and says that it was, you know, a special broadcast and hopes everyone enjoys it. And then the drone gets mad at him.
Well, no, it was Orson Welles apologizing for doing
the thing. You're right.
And throughout the, because they only said it at the beginning of the broadcast, this is the whole, I don't know if you know about the Orson Welles War of the Worlds thing, was that they only announced in the beginning that this was going to be a reenactment, or right. not a reenactment, or a reading of the H.G. Wells classic. So when people heard on the radio that, and how Orson acted as if he was a reporter, some people thought that the Martians really had come down to Earth and were going around killing people.
Right.
So what he hears on the radio is when Orson Welles was apologizing for the mix-up and the things like that, and basically Orson basically told people they were fucking idiots for thinking that it was real, but, you know, he tried to do it in this apologetic way. But right. It was very funny if you actually listen to his apology. You know, who would have thought that people would be so stupid to think that this was really something that was happening instead of just me reading on a radio play?
Do you think the fact that the farmer is a bean farmer and they're in Big Bean, Illinois, like, does that have anything to do with the
Big
famous
Bean, Illinois?
The famous Orson Welles blooper about the peas?
I thought of that immediately.
Yeah,
peas.
Okay.
Imagine. Not you, your friend. I can't do the right.
Just cut it in right here.
I'll cut it in. No, I won't. This is going right off to the guys.
They waited long enough. Our apologies.
Exactly. So you're right. So now for some reason that drone was just chilling in the ship. Yeah. I don't know why the drone wasn't out killing things too.
Taking not over the world. Things, not helping rebuild the ship. Just giving out to the pilot. And even when they crash land, the pilot's like, I don't know. This sounds like might not be the truth, or we might be here by mistake. And the drone's like, you better hope it's not. Well, you're this advanced killing machine, and you're supposed to have direct connection to the supreme leader. Why aren't you riding the ship?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
know. I know why. Bad writing.
It is bad writing. The whole drone thing, it didn't need to be there.
No.
It didn't make a difference. They just probably had this drone that somebody made, this creature, and somebody made this jellyfish metal mechanical. And like in War of the Worlds, they were tripods, spaceships or saucers. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, maybe that's a take on that. But kind he of, floated kind around. Of like you know, I thought that that's what it was. But then since he was just floating, I thought, I don't know. Because I thought those things walked on three stalks, but
I wanted to be mistaken. Well, in the beginning, I wanted to look this up, but by the end of the film, I couldn't care less about doing any research for this film. But I thought perhaps that this was a special effects house just making a quick buck with a film, because there's a lot of props, lots of miniatures. My God, they love going back to that one long shot of the farm scene with the little miniature truck being pulled on a wire back and forth. But to me, it read like that. Like it's bad acting, bad directing. You can tell that they didn't get enough coverage because there's a few shots in the film where it's a different soundstage, extreme close up, completely different lighting. Even at the end, they have to JPG into a scene.
Yeah.
But the props were there, the special effects were there, the makeup was there. That's why to me it was like, oh, is this a special effects house? And they were just like, hey. We can get like $10 million and make a film real quick.
Not only did
know.
They run out of money
I look it up.
Halfway through, they probably ran out. They ran out of story halfway through.
Yeah.
Actually, they ran out of story all the way through.
Through yeah. True.
That's why you should always shoot in order, and then only half your film sucks. So didn't it look like Jack Nicholas Martian got murdered by that drone?
That's what it looked like to me. And then it was green paint for some reason.
Oh, so it really was green paint. Okay.
Yeah,
see,
but
that was too
not
confusing.
Explained as to how or why it was green paint.
Right.
There was no setup for green paint. It was alien gets shot. Alien has what looks like green blood all over it. Is dead. And then later on, they're like, there's just paint in the farmer's truck. It's green paint. Was it paint? Did the drone hit paint cans, or did they think the alien blow was? I don't. I don't know.
So now those three aliens, the other three aliens, are walking around, and they run into the DJ that played the War of the Worlds. And they thought, you know, hey, what's going on? How is the war going? And he was like, well, didn't you hear? And he tells the end of the H.G. Wells story that the aliens die. All of a sudden,
this was another scene that I thought this was a good scene, and I liked how it played out.
Yeah, but you would think, they're going to get the hell out of there, right?
Right, yeah, because of he tells them how the aliens in the story die because of, you know, germs.
And then he sneezes on them, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they get freaked out, and I thought this was great. But there's no payoff to this either.
No.
It starts and stops in this scene.
There probably was supposed to be a payoff. He forgot. To write it. He lost like every other page of his script. That's what happened.
And then there's a giant tractor robot, and then
a spider robot.
Yeah.
And then there's people see the ship, and then they're gonna get their guns, and it's like, what the hell is that thing? So, do you know what that's from?
That's from Andy Kaufman making fun of Jerry the King Lawler.
That's close. It was actually a Steve Martin.
I'm from
thing.
Memphis, Tennessee.
I'm the king of Memphis, Tennessee. there was a skit on Saturday Night Live, and I could do the whole skit. What the hell is that thing? It's just these people looking off stage.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't know. What the hell is that thing? Oh, I know what that is. Yeah, I know what that is, too. Oh, yeah. What the hell is that thing? And that's the whole skit. They just are looking at something and saying, what the hell is that thing? Then they say, I know what that is.
He didn't even like, it's not even a homage. That's just blatant ripping off.
Yeah.
A skit. That's bad. Yeah. I just thought it was annoying. Now it's annoying.
It's annoying because it's annoying because that's how it was originally done. Annoying.
Wow.
But it wasn't.
I'm surprised the aliens didn't look like cone heads now that you're telling me this.
You know, that's what I forgot to mention.
I'd rather watch the Coneheads movie than this again.
Oh, yeah. How about that? He didn't have the ass crack. The opening when the aliens first come down to crash, before they crash, the deputy is out, and he just got a new radar gun. So he's going to catch the first speeder in Big Bean, Illinois. And it's the thing right out of Close Encounters.
Mm-hmm. Yes. With the
aliens going past the radar
sunburnt
gun.
Face on one side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I clocked you going 3,000 miles an hour. That's $10 for every whatever.
So yeah.
I forgot about that. So yeah,
that guy too. What was his name? Deputy Pillsbury. I honestly think that's what his name was.
I think it was, yes.
He couldn't decide if he wanted to be a John Candy ripoff or a Dan Aykroyd ripoff.
Yeah, he was Ghostbusters. He's trying to be Belushi and Aykroyd and
I'd rather watch Ghostbusters the new one with the ladies over this film.
Me too. Yeah, I like the lady one.
Where they fight the logo at the end. I'd rather watch that than watch this again.
Then I don't know.
So then the movie should have ended, but it keeps going for some reason.
Yeah.
At some point, the aliens, they get back together. The commander is using some sort of electrical device to control Zorro, the gas station attendant, to build a killing machine. And because he's into like model robots and toys and things, he's going to build this big Zoid. I think he calls it a Zoid.
Yeah, he calls it
something like that.
Yeah, he calls it.
He doesn't call it a mech.
Zorg.
He doesn't call it a robot.
I think he calls it the Farm Zoid or Farm Zorg.
Zorg. I think Zorg. It's a Zorg.
Okay.
So somehow the alien not only has taken over his mind, but has imbued him with superhuman strength and intelligence.
But before that, that's like, actually when he's the hero. So right now we're at the part where, okay, the townsfolk are going to shoot the aliens. An alien's mm-hmm. ship is seen, but it can't yeah. get out of the atmosphere. Can't do anything else. And now the aliens are panicking. They're going to break out the DOD, the Donut of Destruction. And it's going to blow up the thing like the Death Star could do to Earth. The robot shows the little girl what this DOD can do.
Right.
So they all go out with these parts of a circle strapped on their bodies. So everything inside that tiny circle that they're walking out in is going to be okay, but everything outside of it is going to be destroyed. And I guess they'll be floating in space and still be okay.
Yeah, I know what everyone's thinking. Like, this is poorly conceived. And you're right. It's completely poorly conceived.
Well, somehow the old farmer puts the whammy on the thing blowing up and it short circuits and then other stuff happens.
No. Mm. What happens is early in the film, one of them is not listening to the German doctor aliens I'm talking about, and he crossed the wires. Yeah, and when they go to use the DOD, it doesn't do anything. And he goes, I told you, plug A doesn't go in slot B. And he's like, I didn't do it like that.
Right. That's
like,
why
this
I
whole big
the
thing
farmer,
was supposed to be a payoff. But
I thought
as a joke.
I thought the farmer jumped it. That's why the farmer got knocked out then.
The farmer got knocked out because he went into the ship to throw a stick of dynamite into the ship to destroy it. So that way they were stuck there and he could capture them or kill them and he could be the only dude to know of them so he could sell his story.
Yeah. But
see, these are fragments of stupid shit that happen in this film that don't connect to one another.
But why did his body freeze up and couldn't move?
Oh, because when he went into the ship, Jack Nicholson alien hit him with the whammy ray.
Oh,
and
okay.
was like, I making him part. Seize or something. Like he was shaking all willy nilly and like electrified or frozen, but shaking.
Okay.
And then the alien dudes, when their donut didn't work, they set off some sort of flare, a distress signal that automatically makes the ship come to them. But the ship wasn't ready to fly. So it hops like a boot up and down to get to them. And then finally crashes in front of them, and that's when the townsfolk are all pointing their guns at the ship, and they need some sort of distraction to get the townsfolk away from the ship. And this is where Vern, and I did think a lot about Ernest movies, too, while watching this, and I'm like, God damn, Ernest was a genius compared to this shit. So the gas attendant, Zorro, who's got the mind control, unleashes his Zorg, and then he starts like
a distraction,
and it's so sad because with all the props and special effects and puppetry, this giant robot is literally like a popsicle stick puppet walking back and forth through a field. And he gets his revenge on Clem Becker, the union guy who was mean to him in a previous scene, so that the aliens can bounce.
Right.
And
before that happens, the sheriff wants to call the Air Force. His daughter tells him the Martians aren't really bad. They're just stupid. Which, you know, see, there's parts here that could fit. They just don't.
And
plus, he yells at his dad for being a loser for doing exactly what he should responsibly do.
I love that, too, because that seemed like, again, really bad writing by somebody who had no idea what like they were even doing or saying. Like, all you care about is your badge, Dad. It's like, yeah, that sounds like drama. That's good. I like that. It's like, it's so out of place.
Yeah,
in this
Yeah, because you would have thought that's why the mom died, because he was caring too much about being a sheriff, and you know, there's nothing that those are all things that probably were written, but then he's like, I'm out an hour 41, I'm writing a piece of shit movie. Well, let's just cut out every other page. let's all get laid. But I really see, this made me laugh, that stupid Martian version of Home on the Range when they were singing Home on the Range.
Oh, you like about that?
I you know, it's so,
I was rolling into 1:30 in the morning when this scene came up. So I wanted maybe to hate that's it. Why it didn't
I wanted hit to hate me. It, but yeah. There were some lines that were just pretty damn funny. There's just right. Some lines in that were pretty damn funny. I don't know why. So the whole space-time continuum is in jeopardy if the Martians can't get their ship up into space. And within the next hour, that's when Zorro builds the distraction thing. They're like, oh, we can only hop. Like, this boot, it's still not working. So the old guy, he knows exactly what to do. And that's where he gets out all the dynamite, and he's gonna stick it under the spaceship's ass, and then.
Were you like me watching that scene with the old man carrying the box of dynamite, and just hoping that there'd be a scene like there was in the first season of Lost?
Where I didn't watch that show.
Oh, you missed out on a great scene.
I know someone that thought he wrote it, so I was like, I'm not going to watch this shit.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to go very well down that road. But there was a scene in that show where there was very old dynamite, and someone blew up into little pieces because they try to handle it. And I was really hoping that old man would just explode into bits, knowing full well that would not happen in this film.
Well, he was right, because farmers do use dynamite to do different.
It's good for all sorts of things. Yeah. Gophers and termites.
Yeah, you normally just blow up rocks and other other things that are in the way
stumps.
Of
stumps. I think he even says stump removal.
Yeah. And he uses to blow up cars and spacecraft. So you get the dynamite, and I told you I was near the end of the movie, and he said that's the best part. And so
I meant like it's the best part because the movie's over.
Yeah. So of course now we have to bring back the drone.
Yes.
Because we're like, yay, we better wrap up this drone thing because this is very important to the story. So basically, the farmer says, "Here, I'm giving you an award for being so great, and so don't kill everybody and don't kill anything. Just take this award, and because if you let the spaceship explode, then Mars is going to get knocked into the sun, and you'll have to pay a big fine." And this sounds better than a movie, but that's actually what gets said.
I didn't think that. I thought that this particular scene would have been better if, like, I like the setup of it. These Martians are stupid.
Yeah.
Like, if that was played up more, this would have been funnier. And if the drone had more to do in the film, then there would have been a better payoff. Like, if we actually got to see the drone vaporize people, then we would have felt great or elated to see this thing explode. But instead, we saw it bully the aliens, then shoot an alien, and then chase down an alien. And that was it. That's all it did, the entire film.
Yeah. And now he wants to kill everybody, but they talk him out of it because it'll blow up the Earth, and then Mars will get knocked off course.
Right.
But still.
Which they're from, by the way. They're from Mars.
Yes.
You don't know that for three quarters of the film, but they're from Mars.
They had to change that story.
Stupid.
Every other page.
Stupid film.
So the old man gives him an award. He said, "Hey, Wiggly, you can't really see this award." Yeah.
This film's not bad. It's just stupid.
Yeah. Don't call the. Why don't you take care of it yourself? Because you like your badge more. That's why. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
This is a pretty uneventful award, isn't it? The drone talks, by the way, and that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying, this is not very impressive, is it? And he said, well, let me light that for you. So you see how nice and sparkly it is. But I'm going to back up and take a photo of you. And by the way, there's like 18 crates of dynamite, and they're going to hide behind the shovel of a backhoe or a tractor wheel or something. That's like, it's like 10 feet away. And everybody's
going
to be okay.
Also, I just want to say it again. These aliens are familiar with the NBA, but don't know what dynamite is.
Yes. And that's another thing you mentioned, that would have been cool if the aliens were stupid or this was stupid. they don't know what who they want to be stupid. They don't know if they want the adults to be stupid. They don't know if they want the kids making fun of the girl to be stupid. They don't know if they want the aliens to be stupid, if they want the drone to be stupid.
Right.
You know who's stupid? Us for watching it.
Watching this film.
And so the dynamite blows the spaceship. Well, first of all, the firecracker goes off in the drone's hand and he gets blown all to hell. And then they're like, oh, no, it didn't take off. And they said, no, we didn't blow up the dynamite yet. Hold on. That was just one firecracker. So everybody gets back
on. Oh, my God.
On.
This scene went on forever. Yeah. Oh, why, it's just like just set off.
Either make the drone or not the drone or whatever. So
not only that, after the drone's dying, we go back and forth with the alien hanging his head out of the ship. Like
giving a salute.
Yeah, wrap it up already. And that's when JPG is chroma keyed into the scene. So clearly, like, that wasn't shot. And guess what? We didn't need to see that.
No. No.
Just take
When they crashed in the barn, it was I don't know if it was, maybe it was some other movie, but instead of just editing the film the proper way, they would show people like walk out of a car, like open the car door, close the car door, walk in back of the car, walk through the garage, walk into the next hallway, walk into the room, and then get to where something's actually going to take place. You know, you don't know what the hell, you don't know how to edit a movie.
It was a closed set in that it was closed off from them shooting on it. So they had to shoot in someone's bedroom. It was very confined.
They blow up the spaceship. The spaceship goes up. It's not quite out of there. It's too heavy still. It's too heavy. Oh, they're trying. Let's throw things out. The one guy goes flying, and he goes into the restroom, and he's got toilet paper on his head. And they're like, "We threw out everything we could. We dumped everything we could." Yeah. And he goes, "Well, we didn't dump everything. We dumped everything except these glowing green excrement."
The movie literally takes a shit on the audience.
It does. It takes a giant shit. And I mean, it's giant. It's miles long of this raining, green, glowing poop.
Oh, and here's a few missed opportunities. One, Clem Becker could have very easily been outside still and just got splashed with this green goo.
Right.
Easy joke. Easy yuck yucks. And I expected it from a film like this. But oh, wait, no, I didn't, because this film is horribly written. So clearly,
I mean, it wouldn't ruin the ending.
Also, would have helped if there was some sort of setup about that ship even having a bathroom or those aliens going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Simple scene where they're flying to Earth and one of them's on the toilet, because the movie was not beyond making that type of gross out
humor. I gotta go.
Yeah.
Well, just hold it, because the toilet's full. Yeah, there you go.
Bang. Yeah, or something like that. Done. Or like, you know, I told you not to get that Thai food in Sector 83. Whatever that, you know, whatever stupid thing you had to throw in there.
Yeah.
You could have put it where the alien was pooping in the toilet in the beginning, and at the end, they got to drop his dumps.
I like eating Thai. I could eat that every day.
All right, pal.
So here comes the big ending. They don't have to have a battle of the bands. They don't have to have a dance contest.
No.
The guy comes the next day to repossess the farm. Oh, wait, but there's something first. Here's Jim, your dog. Why did that matter? What happened?
Where did Jim go?
And why is that? Like I said, every other page, gone. So evidently, Jim, his dog, was lost. And now here, we got to give it to you to waste more time.
Right.
The farmer says, okay, well, yeah, you could have the keys to it, but you gotta go fetch them. And he throws it over his house. The dude goes in the back and he sees that there's a bunch of balloons in the field. And he's like, oh, no.
Because
you grew a good crop.
Gigantic, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids style green beans. Mm-hmm. Which, good luck trying to convince anybody to eat that crop.
Giant beans.
And I would like to see the sequel to this movie where the people who did are like the people from The Hills Have Eyes.
Oh, that poor guy really does look like that.
Well, maybe he shouldn't be eating giant green beans with the alien excrement all over them.
Well, kids, that's 1990s, and that's what it looked like, 1990s right there. And Hey, just in case you wanted to stick around past the credits, no stinger. There's no stinger. So.
Yeah, there's no like Captain America and Thor having halal or anything like that.
No, no. Farmzord, getting it. Farmzoid.
Yeah, so.
With the figurine.
Check out Over the Garden Wall. And any of the three movies Wiggly recommended.
Yes, if you want to have your lives ruined, watch I Saw the Devil, Martyrs, French Martyrs, and Funny Games.
Where we talk games.
We talk games. Now we are We Talk to Movie again for our buddies over there at 8-Bit Geek. And we thank Kevin.
Thank you very much for inviting us to be a part of this.
And the rest. Kevin and Doug and Jeremy.
Thank you for having us on again.
Yeah.
We're sorry.
We hope that you like us. Bye-bye.
Bye.